Okay, so recording started. Hey, Gabriel, how's it going today?
Hi, hello, Jack. It's all right. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, it's a huge honor. I basically started this year with my VFX career, and currently I'm working on a project, a very, very exciting one. And I learned from your videos. And I think in this podcast, my goal is to ask you about your story, because I think in your videos, you know, you're very focused on how to make certain effects, and
yeah,
you know, that's great, but I would really like to know who Gabriel is and what brought you to here.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, yeah, it's actually a pretty interesting story. I was working already in the industry, and I was still finishing my bachelor's degree, and eventually I was contacted by a friend, and I was like, and he was like, yeah, we are doing a game and it would be awesome if you could work with us. And I was like, yeah, sure, that's the dream, you know. So I jumped right into the job, did the stuff that they asked me about, and we did a lot of general, like generalist line, you know?
Exactly.
Like yeah. In this case, yeah. So yeah, it was a great job. What I'm trying to say, it was a great job. But eventually I reached that point where I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this. I don't know. I wasn't feeling very happy in that place. It was cool in the beginning, but I eventually decided to quit that job. And at the same time, I quit the job. I eventually created this channel, Gabriel Agaprod. And it's funny because I never thought about it as my main thing.
Mm.
And eventually it turned out to be my main thing. And the channel at the beginning was only tutorials about Photoshop and Blender. And it was not even visual effects. But eventually I realized if visual effects is pretty cool, what if I do a video about it?
Mm.
What if I try explaining how this is done? In a simpler way, in an easier way.
Mm.
And eventually I did my first video on visual effects. And first one that I did, it's funny because first one I did just came out really great. And in today it has close to 4,000 views,
mm.
400,000 views.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I never thought that it was going to be a hit. So that was really the beginning, and that's when I realized, yeah, I'm going to do only visual effects. I'm going to leave Photoshop behind and Blender tutorials behind, and it's all about VFX. What if I do a channel only about VFX? And yeah, that's how it started, actually. Yeah, that's...
So there's a lot to uncover here. One of the main questions is, like, I didn't know that you started with Photoshop, because that's a bit closer to my background. So I wanted to ask you about when did you get into coding? Is that something you studied?
Yeah, I was doing my bachelor's degree, and the bachelor's degree was about game design.
Oh.
It was very, very general. Yeah, it was extremely general. And my background was actually interior design, architecture, and stuff like that. So I was okay with the artistic side of things, but the programming part was never my strong.
Mm.
And on that course, it was not the focus, programming. So what me and a friend did back then was to enlist on another class from another course. We were doing the main course, the game design course, but we decided, what if we enlist ourselves on the class about programming C#?
Yeah, okay.
Because we realized that that was something that was lacking in our course. Mm. And we had a great teacher back there, and that's where it clicked. That's where stuff clicked. And but that was just the beginning. Eventually, we need to do a lot of, personally, I do a lot of trial and error. That's how I learn, and that's how I eventually was okay, feeling okay with programming. Yeah.
So you come like from an artistic background, how to learn coding from scratch. Do you feel like until this day, you don't quite get a lot of the coding side of things? Do you feel like when you implement your work, your VFX work, do you feel like you can go beyond that and like make a game? Do you feel comfortable? How do you have a conversation with a programmer, let's say?
Okay, so that's a great question, because you see, I eventually built a game design company. We have a game development company called Bug Studios. Yeah, and back in 2021, I founded Golden Bug Studios, and we are developing Rabbit still. And I did a prototype. I prototyped the game, and eventually I hired a programmer, a professional programmer, someone really, really good with that stuff. And so it was actually pretty easy for me to eventually do the transition from the artistic brain to the programming side of things, because I really enjoyed it. You know, I applied myself and I learned how to code, but to me it was based on a lot of tutorials, definitely a lot of tutorials, learning and Googling a lot of stuff. Back then we didn't have AI, we couldn't ask anything. We had to Google a lot of stuff and figure out from there. And today that was super useful back then when I founded Golden Bug Studios, because with the programmer that I hired, it was an easy conversation with him. I could go back and forth and exchange ideas, and he would implement exactly how we need it. And he was actually a very easy person to work with. He eventually left the company and is now doing something else, but that's an entire different
So you're like you own a lot of businesses, right? You have the channel, which has its own income through like the asset store and the videos, of course. And then you also have a video game company, a studio.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually the main focus was always to develop games. My main focus was always to develop games.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it wasn't always possible, because it's not life. Sometimes takes you to different paths.
Yeah.
But that I try to life is not a straight path, you know, and I went really around and around to eventually got here to the point where now I have my dream company where I have Golden Bug, and we have great artists, we have great programmer, great really great people working here.
Many people are you?
Golden Bug. Now we are between 7 and 10, more or less 7 and 10.
That's a decent sized team.
It's to begin with, it's decent. The thing that stresses me the most is managing everything, because there's the channel, like you were saying, there's the game company, there's the supporting customers, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, so you run everything through the same studio, basically. Even the asset store and everything.
Exactly. We have a team here focused on visual effects. It's me, it's another Gabriel.
Your clone.
I love that. It's pretty funny. And then now recently, like 2 weeks ago, we have now a new intern, which is Pedro. And he's doing some very interesting stuff that I'm really eager to show, because his main focus is realistic effects. We don't have that much stuff on the asset store or on my channel. We don't have that much stuff on realistic side of things.
That is true. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to see Pedro's stuff. That sounds like a cool content to watch. So interns, right? Interns take a lot of the work, right?
some of the work. Yeah. Eventually, there's a process where they begin something, and then it goes through me, and then it goes to the public.
But how do you feel like you know, in comparison to when you started, how do you feel about the new generation? Like when you have an intern, do you feel like they have a broad knowledge about things, like different engines? I think like back when you started, you had to like almost make your own tutorials, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. There were very few channels that talked about game effect.
Mm.
There was a huge mystery. What is real-time effect?
Yeah.
And, I feel like nowadays they are really well prepared. And there's a lot of options online, and they can go and learn stuff on their own very easily, almost
for free.
Much more comfortable way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like your content is, like, even if you don't have any idea about visual effects, if you just watch like a simple tutorial of yours, like the trail tutorial, or a simple explosion or a sparks tutorial, you kind of get it, you know, because the way you make your videos, you kind of bring in all the different disciplinary in one video, and you do it every video. Like, there's no exception. I've never watched a video from you where you don't at least describe something from the beginning. But you don't go too much into details that it gets boring. Like, what I like about your YouTube videos is that if I watch any of them, they're not a series, right? You do your best to describe every step of the way. What brought this formula, you know? How did you come up with that? Because you have, like, amazing communication skills.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, I was always focused on. I want to make a video that stands on its own and doesn't need other videos so people.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, most of the times, if you have a part one and then a part two and then a part three, the part two and the part three are not as much. They are not viewed as much. So I always wanted to focus on having a video that could stand on its own, and I would try to give people a general idea on a lot of topics and a lot of things that goes into making visual effects in that single video.
Mm.
Some videos are a little bit more straightforward. Other videos, sometimes I try to explain a bit more what's going on behind. But it's art. It's an art process to have a nice balance between keeping it simple, keeping it interesting, and not too boring, too detailed.
Mm.
Because it's easier to get lost on explanations and on details. We could talk about just how to make one effect or way longer than most of the videos.
Yeah, I mean, I also like how you go over complex topics like coding, for example. You don't explain too much about coding. And the way you go over it is like, you either know coding or you just don't, right? And
exactly.
You kind of give the idea of like, hey, you can copy this if you want to, right? You don't even like care to explain. And I like that because like I don't want to be intimidated by the code. Yes. If I can't code, and if I can code, I can easily follow your video and be like, that's an interesting way to do it, right?
Yes, that's exactly the idea. That's you put it very well. That's the idea that if you know how to code, you get an idea of how I did, then you can replicate, and that's all right. But if you don't know how to code, and if you don't want to get bothered with that, then sure, it's fine. And just copy paste code if you want, and focus on the effect.
I wanted to ask you eventually, like, how do you feel about the fact that you're inspiring hundreds of thousands of new game dev people or VFX people to go into the industry? How does that feel to you? Like, you must feel really good.
I actually don't think much about it, to be honest. It's like that's what I do, you know.
Mm.
And I always wanted to give people the ability to create effects on their own and learn on their own, but I never think about it on that way. I'm helping a lot of people and a lot of game developers doing their own thing, And it's great. That really makes me happy. Sometimes I receive comments and emails, people thanking me, and it's nice. It's really nice. It gets me up, gets me through the day.
Yeah.
Every time I receive a positive message, it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's like what
good.
I wanted to ask you about. It's like, yeah. It must feel really good to like look in the comments and
positive.
Like,
yeah. It's really okay. I'm doing something nice for the world, for the indie dev community. It's okay. I'm happy with that. It's all right. Cool.
And it's also generating income in the end, you know?
Yeah, in the end, it does. Not directly through YouTube, because YouTube doesn't generate that much income.
Yeah.
But
through the courses you offer, like the Udemy courses you offer. And that's something I really enjoyed about the content when I first started. And I didn't start that far, like that long ago, like maybe June last year. So when I started streaming, and I like the first thing I started with is your course, the explosion one. I think the stylus explosion, or nah, the other one where you just explain everything from the beginning, the beginner to
the
intermediate.
Beginner friendly.
We
should update that one.
Why is there a lot of old stuff in it? Or
yeah, it's from 2019, I believe, and that's all. I receive a lot of comments of people asking me, why don't you update this course? Well, it's not that easy. Updating a course, it's almost like making one from scratch.
You have to, right? There's no easy way. I wish there was a platform where you could just update things on the go. They are it's also, does the business model help you with making that? Like, is it a subscription based? If yes, then you can excuse the time that you're putting into that, right?
Yes, it's actually, I haven't been doing much courses now recently because they take a huge amount of time. They are fun. I love doing courses. It's actually one of the things that I want to get back to doing. But now with a game developing company and stuff like that and managing all the people, I still have to find a way, a formula, somehow to make courses and... how do I put it? Not lose too much time from managing the game developing company, from managing Golden Bugs. So think I have a plan, and I want to try it with the interns. I want to try, because you see, everything that is video editing, it's all me, and that part, and even the tutorial part. That's my job. I do it from scratch. But having the other people do that, it's very hard. Having another artist having another artist recording a tutorial for me and me voicing it over, that's a process that I still have to.
Oh, that's a tough one to plan, and it's a tough one to manage and a tough one to edit. It's almost 3 times the work, if you think about it.
Yeah, it is. It is. I still have to find a way to have convenient workflow between me and the team, so we can produce videos and produce courses in a timely manner. Basically.
What could be interesting, and I'm an idea guy. Like I just have ideas.
Sure.
You have to shut me up for me not to have ideas anymore. So one idea could be is to make like a almost like an event type of let's say 4 weeks to the YouTube followers that buy the course between, let's say, March and April. You give them 4 weeks a call where you give feedback to them, and you edit those and you put it on your channel, and you kind of just describe like what is the common issues people go through, what are I think it could make a nice content, you know. I don't know, it's just an idea.
No, that's an interesting idea, because I could get content and still help people, and that's an interesting idea.
They can even pay for entry, basically.
Yeah, Yeah, like basically a mentorship and a review of your portfolio or your effects. And yeah, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Kind of like an indirect mentorship in a way.
Yeah.
If you have a really good intern for who can really good make really good effects, you can assign them to give feedback on the Discord, for example, like daily feedback, not a call, but like written feedback. And then you have like one call a week for 4 weeks, like a boot camp, where you just tell them, I've seen your work, and you go just through them and you give them pointers, and it's like maximum 1 hour and a half or whatever a week. And then you make content out of this whole experience, and you can even sell it as a package. But that's just an idea.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting idea, definitely. We'll think about it.
Yeah. So yeah, game dev, VFX, they kind of come hand in hand, right? A lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot of games would not make any sense without the visual effects.
True.
So what is your relationship with that part of it?
Well, it's funny because I've been developing Rabbit's Tail for almost 4 or 5 years. And it's a Metroidvania, and actually I've been doing the part of visual effects now. It has reached that very nice moment of doing visual effects.
Nice.
And I've been doing a ton of visual effects because it has quite a few abilities. It's a rabbit's tail, it's a rabbit, and you can equip amulets, and those amulets alterate the way he works, basically. And I've been doing a lot of visual effects, and I have always to focus on two things first, which is the mechanic, the game mechanic in itself. What does this ability do? What's the objective of the ability itself, and the amulet and stuff like that, and then try to implement it in a way that doesn't occupy the whole screen, because there's always that that will to do something beautiful and impactful and stuff like that. Sometimes we have to bring it down a little bit and
scale it down.
Don't go too far. It has been an interesting process because it has been everything frame by frame and made frame by frame. It brings a flavor, a different flavor to the effects. Something that I have to talk a little bit more on my YouTube channel too.
I'm excited to know more about the game. But speaking of, like, do you use your which engine are you using now? Is it Unity? I guess because you're trained on C#, right?
Yes, it's Unity.
So are you using the visual effect graph for that?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the reason?
The Visual Effect Graph, it's an awesome tool and very flexible, extremely flexible. But it's still not yet supported on all the platforms. And the game we are creating, Rabbit's Tail, we planned from the beginning that it should work on
mobile.
Not on mobile. Eventually on mobile, down the road, but on the beginning, on Switch and Nintendo
on the Switch,
on these more lightweight platforms. And I feel like VFX Graph will bring a few problems down the road, so that's why I went with Particle System.
Yeah,
because I would use Visual Effect Graph if it was, for example, something realist like a first person shooter or something like that that requires.
Yeah.
Or an RPG that requires advanced systems, like falling glyphs, and they need to interact with the player. I don't know, stuff like that.
Yeah, something advanced. That requires like a lot of particles, which means like it's gonna require the GPU for it, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm mainly just working with the VFX graph right now where I'm working. It's funny, you're working with frame by frame, and I'm, you know, our art director is like more focused on meshes and 3D. So I'm literally creating effects that probably never got created before. It's always like interesting solutions, right? I really can't wait to show the game, because it's the effects in it, they're very different to what you're usually like used to in games. So I'm excited to show you too the some of the effects I'm working with. Like one of the things I'm curious is doing like frame by frame mesh effect.
Oh wow.
With Boolean this much of amount of like one of my graphs are, I think you need like 2 4K screens to just see it.
That's huge.
It's big. Whoa. And it all started with like me understanding visual graphics. It all started with me watching your tutorials. So I find it funny where when I compare where I started, and it's not that long ago, to my current understanding of the system, I'm like, I laugh about it, you know? Yeah. Because like in your videos, you start with very basic things like, let's make a Spark system, and it's like, you know, yeah, it's
exactly
a couple of components and a couple of blocks. And right now I'm doing those spider nets.
It's huge thing. Oh, spider nets! Oh, that sounds impressive. Those are huge effects. They're complex ones.
They are really complex, but I feel like they can be way more efficient. But you know how it is when you're just like copying and pasting and just connecting fast to see if it's going to work, and then you promise just to clean it up, but you never clean it up.
I know what it is. Organization is a key element sometimes when developing.
Yeah, stuff. Your assets are great. You organize them very, like...
Thank you.
Like, in such a cool way. Like, you could study your assets. If anyone is buying Gabriel's assets, like, just check the visual effects graph or the shader graph that he does. Do you do that on purpose, by the way, so people like can learn from it as well?
Yes, it's one of the. One of the objectives when publishing an asset, that it's flexible, customizable, and people can understand it easily.
Wow!
And if they want to learn from it, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing, man. You're doing so much cool stuff for the VFX for the games industry, at least. Like. The thing is, like, when you want to learn visual effects, it's always like attached to films, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't find many, like, let's take the visual effects graph for example. You're basically the only person that makes content about it, right?
Yeah,
like video content.
It's funny. It's funny because there should be a few more people doing that content. But I wish I could have more time to do more content about it and go deeper.
Yeah.
Because VFX graph, we are only scratching the surface.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's such a powerful tool.
It's so cool when you figure out stuff like using math, for example, or like using switches or the noise. I don't know if you watched Unity made a video about the visual effects graph.
Oh, yes,
do you know it?
Let's
Dev video.
The demo.
I think it's called.
They have that awesome demo, that awesome package with a lot of visual effect graphs. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw it.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing, and everything is available for free. But like that video, maybe has, I don't know, maybe 2,000 views or something.
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't have the
closure. Like, a lot of people need to know about like what Unity did for you to play around with those effects, and they actually explain it so
very well. Yeah,
very well. So at one point when I got the job, I was like, okay, I have like a week to learn more about the graph because we will use it heavily. So I went into the documentation of Unity and went page by page. And what I did is I copied the text, put it in ChatGPT, and told it to explain it to me like I'm 5-year-old, right? I didn't get to know all the aspects of it, but I had a basic idea about some functionality that I never touched before. So I was able to Google them very quickly. When I've done that, I immediately went to this video. It's called Let's Dev. It's about the visual effects graph. It's from Unity itself. And they literally go over what I've been putting on ChatGPT, like what I've been trying to understand about the visual effect graph. They went over it in a video. And you're like, oh, I should have just watched that video.
Yeah, it clicks. Yeah, yeah. It's a complex tool. It's not an easy tool to get wrap our head around it. But once you start figuring out how to connect stuff, you can do awesome stuff.
It's not that much different from the shader graph, if you think about it, right?
Yes. There's a correlation between the both, and I think if people know one, they can easily learn the other. Just like if they know the particle system, the OG particle system, at least they can have a basic idea of how VFX graph eventually works. It's just a different workflow.
You know, I was surprised that not a lot of people are covering it. So I had the first thought came in my mind. I'm like, is visual effect graph a copycat, so to speak, to Niagara system? And I haven't touched that, so I wanted to ask you about that.
That's a great question, because you see, I've been playing with both a lot, because people that work here, that I work with, Gabriel and Pedro, they are doing work with VFX Graph and Niagara. They are actually both working with Niagara now.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of doubts, you know, and I have to always keep up with them, and I'll always to touch Niagara. And I keep thinking the same thing, but I don't know which one came first. Probably Niagara came first.
Probably.
But in the end, they are extremely similar. They are extremely similar. They have that bound particle, then they have the initialized particle.
Oh, here you go.
Particle,
then it makes sense that you could follow an Niagara tutorial at the same time. I think they made VFX Graph, I think, and this is just my theory. I think Unity made VFX Graph, so if an Unreal VFX artist comes to play around with Unity, they kind of have the same tools, right? It kind of feels the same to me.
Yeah.
So kind of like if you want to... It, in a funny way, if you want to expand more on the visual effect graph, you kind of need to learn Niagara, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see where you're going. Yeah. I personally still find, but this is just a personal taste, Unity VFX graph easier. Because, and they are similar, but there's a moment where they follow different paths.
Oh, okay.
When the logic nodes, because in both you can have logic nodes and you can have those extra nodes besides the main column, right?
Yes.
You can have those. Exactly.
Yeah.
They have a specific name for that, but I don't recall it right now.
Mm.
But on Unreal, it's different the way they do
okay.
it. The way they did it, it's not on the same area you are working. You open up a new node, a new stuff, and you work in there.
Okay.
And then you come back to the main thing.
Ooh. That's
and
difficult.
While on, it's a little bit, I don't, it's all right. But on Unity, at least everything is on the same thing.
Yeah.
You can also create those subgraphs, which is awesome if you want to create those subgraphs. That's fantastic. But if you want, you can keep everything on the same page and everything is there. You see a bunch of lines. It's all right. But it's up to you, you know?
That's kind of cool. I didn't know about that, about the Niagara system and how it works. But I kind of prefer, like, the way you're describing it, I'm leaning more towards the VFX graph. Like you said, you know, if you wanna organize it, you create a subgraph and you don't have to worry about it anymore. It kind of helps to always have the overview of the logic, especially if the logic, like, I would rather have that always there, because if I want to reference a graph to another graph that I'm doing and I want to go back and see, like, oh, what did I do there differently, I see it immediately. Like, even with the way you work sometimes, like, each one has their own personal style. The way I organize multiple multiplications is different to how I organize addition or division or whatever. So I have, like, a way to visually distinguish between, like, you kind of just develop your own thing by time. I'm sure you have your own tricks too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because that's the key word you said, visually. We get used to a certain way of doing our stuff. And when that visual part is taken out of the equation, it's different. But If one day you will try, I'm sure you will try Niagara one day, and you will see that there's differences when it comes to Niagara and VFX graph. And I have already fought quite a few times in doing a Niagara versus VFX graph video.
Yeah.
And I have a few notes on things that they are different. And in the end, I think Unity VFX graph is easier and can be much more flexible.
And it's kind of sad in a way that it's not completely discovered, like,
yes,
in a way, yeah, like, you kind of need to be a computer scientist to know what you're doing.
Pretty much, yeah, because there's very complex stuff going on both in Niagara and VFX Ref.
Yeah, but I feel like I can easily find a Niagara tutorial, right?
Yeah, exactly.
In a way.
And VFX Ref, for some reason, it's falling behind, but it shouldn't, because it's pretty much the same, if not even better.
I would love it if there was like one video that describes not just like one method how to do a certain effect, but one video that describes each node and what it does, you know, are the possibilities. Like, possibilities are endless, right? Like, no doubt about
pretty
that.
Much. Yeah.
But at least, like, I would like a video that is like 4 hours long, right? Where it just the person just going through each node and saying, and here's an example on how that works.
Yes, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, basically like a Bible of VFX graph. Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'm sure there's one about the shader graph.
Yeah, I think there
is already one. Yeah.
And I know who did it, but I don't recall his name, sadly. I'm not good with that, but it's from Lynn. It's not Lynn. He has a name that I cannot easily pronounce.
I know there was a guy who made one about Godot, like each and every node.
Godot.
Godot is fun, right? But it's still lacking behind. Like, it doesn't have a visual effect graph
Fun. No, it doesn't. It's that's a great topic, because I also have been doing some tutorials with Godot.
Yeah,
just to get some Godot developers to also cover the channel and stuff like that. And it's fun to see how they go, how they solve the same problems that Unreal and Unity have. It's fun to see that. Yeah.
Do you feel like they have to do more tricks to get the same results? Godot?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I see.
Sometimes, yeah. And the particle system. Look, I don't. I love all the engines, and there's sometimes some beefs between Godot and Unity, and developers get really. This is, I don't know, Godot for the win. Oh no,
yeah.
Unity. You know, but the particle system in Godot is very strange. It's very it's too limited. It's still in its early phases, or no, and it's not. There's something that really stresses me out when I'm using Godot, because it's not organized in a very friendly way.
Okay. Not at all. User experience wise, you can't.
Exactly.
Like, every time you need to start an effect, you have to click 3 to 4 things to just get started, right?
It's weird. It's too much. For example, I have a video. I've begun a new series on my channel. I've only made 2 videos about it, which is 10 effects, 10 minutes.
Easy. Okay, yeah, cool. And I love that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wanted to do the same in Godot.
No.
But,
no. Maybe 50 minutes.
Maybe. Yeah. Because for some reason, perhaps I'm still not very fluent with it, and perhaps I'm still lacking a bit more experience, but I feel like I'm always searching stuff where it's not super compact. It's very strange.
You know, I wanted to ask you, like, it's a different topic, but it just came to me. I don't know if it's just me, but I have the feeling that visual effects artists in the games industry don't have as much like opportunity to collaborate with each other. or to go an event with each other. Like, you have, you know, game dev people, they have events, they have jam, you know, game jam. We are kind of generalists. We know a couple of this disciplinary, and this is how we can put it together. But I don't feel like we have that, I don't know what it is, what is lacking. And you can maybe explain this better than me. Like, what is lacking to keep us away from, like, going to an event just about VFX for games and just have, like, talks?
Like, that would be so
what
cool.
is lacking?
Probably what's lacking is, just like it did lack when game development began, it's there's probably not that many people. There's a lot of people, definitely. There's a lot of people doing visual effects.
Yeah.
But there's not enough people to do eventually something as big as an event only about visual effects. I think in GDC, they gather a couple of VFX artists. And they do, like, they sit in a table and they talk about the tools and how the industry is advancing. And I don't know what they talk about specifically because I never went there. But I think in GDC there's something where VFX artists gather. But what I totally agree with you is that, and I've thought about this quite a few times, is events for VFX artists, more competition, more... contests for VFX artists. Like, imagine if there was a contest where you have, like, I don't know, it would be awesome to have a contest like, I don't know if you see that show where they have a forge and people go there and they make make knives in like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
They have to make a specific weapon or a knife or stuff like that, and that would be awesome to see that in VFX, visual effects, where you have, like, people gather, or physically or digitally, probably digitally because it's easier online, and they gather and they have, like, 4 hours. This is the topic. You have to do this effect, and, like, a contest, like a challenge.
Like a jam.
And then you have, like
VFX
a jam.
VFX jam.
Yeah, effects jam.
I think your channel is such a, like, you have such a huge reach, and you're, I think, the most likely to organize something like that, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I thought about it a couple of times. Yeah,
what happened?
That would be awesome. Game development, Golden
Life.
Bug Studios, life. Yeah, there's so much stuff that I wish I could do. And probably I would do someday, but at the moment we are really focusing all of our energy on Rabbit's Tail.
Of course, and
assets.
But I do feel like that is needed. That is lacking in our industry. Like, if you
Indeed.
Think about games, each game almost must have some type of a visual effect in it. Like, it's as important as code or game design. But I don't feel like we get to, like, talk about it as much, or, like, expand it, or put it more into the front of, like, something to show. Like, game jams is something you can show, right?
Yeah, you can show and people can play, and there should be a little bit more recognition, because if you look at games, if they don't have visual effects, probably 90% of the games, if they don't have visual effects, they will not feel the same.
Yeah.
They will definitely not feel that fun and that punchy and stuff like that. I'm not putting anything above. All the areas are extremely important.
Yeah, of course.
Programming. And,
yeah.
But there's that final touch that where VFX artist comes and just make things click. And I feel that a lot, especially now that developing Rabbit's Tail, a game that we made from scratch. And there was a lot of prototyping stuff that, until to this day, they were on prototyping mode. And I reached that phase where, I'm going to do visual effects. And coming out of that prototyping phase and polishing stuff, it's so satisfying with visual effects that it really makes things totally worth it. And
that's why a lot of people do crunching, right? Because that lasts that last 2 months of polishing the game is the most satisfying. So yeah, it's almost like crucial. Worth a crunch because you get to see how the game is supposed to look like.
Yeah. You are beginning to see that light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, it really makes you. Oh, I gotta finish this. This is awesome.
I'm definitely right now in the crunching period, and it's really stressful. But yeah, every time you finish an effect, you implement it, you're like, "Yep, I spend like 2 hours on this, but hey, at least I get to see it."
Worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of like stuff that you need to put in the game, and it's stressful that you feel like you're never gonna get there. So, what is the strategy you suggest, like through your experience, to visual effects artists who created the effects already and need to implement it? What do you suggest, like a strategy to implement as much as possible, for example, and polish later, or what is it in your experience?
I really like personally to begin the process with trying a lot of stuff.
Mm.
I did exactly the same thing here on Rabbit's Tale, where I was trying to find the art style, just the art style that would fit better. Because sometimes it's not obvious. Obviously, if you are developing effects for Doom or something like that, you know what the art style is. It's realistic, it's blood, it's awesome. Yeah. But first, I began with that, trying to find the art style, because there's tons of way of doing the same effect. There's not tons of way, but there's quite a few way of doing the same thing.
Mm.
And finding that process is where I began. Finding that art style is where I began.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question.
So basically, you are answering part of it, but I wanted to ask, like, so you start a game, right? You know, you have a kind of a way or a kind of a plan of how many VFX you might need, which might change because the game is constantly changing, right? Every month the game is changing, the game document is changing, the behaviors are changing, the actions are changing. And then, you know, sometimes you made the effect and it's done, but then you see it in the game and it's not really doing what you want, but you still created that like visual effects graph or that shuriken system that you could change a couple of parameters in and create a different effect. My question is, like, what do you start with first? So you said you need to establish an art direction, and I 100% agree. You need to know where you're drawing the limits. And you need to do that also with the time constraint in mind. So if your game is only getting to be developed for 2 years, then you have to have that in mind. Or for 2 months, then you need to cut a lot of shit out, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, like, okay, you establish the art direction. Then what's your immediate next step? Do you go through the VFX list, for example, that you made for yourself and categorize the effects through systems? So, for example, like, you have a spark system. You need a spark system for that. And there's like 70 variations of sparks, right? Yeah, there's the yellow one, the green one, the one with 20 particles, the one with 100 particles, the one with 1,000 particles, the one that moves in a certain way, the one with a different mesh, the one with a different, et cetera, et cetera. So do you categorize them with systems, or how do you approach your work?
Well, in that case, what I like to do is first do the list, definitely do the list. Trying to list everything to see what you will need, and then trying to see create a smaller list for basically creating categories, right? And seeing if it's possible to reuse some of that stuff that you made, because that's going to save you a lot of time. And
reusability,
it's a key. It's key because you will make sure that the effect is flexible enough to create variations and look different, and you will not lose too much time, because eventually, like you were saying, things change throughout the process of development, and you need to go and make those effects, especially with VFX graph. With VFX graph, you can easily do that. It's so easy to do that. You can create systems that are complex but flexible in a way that you can create variations that are different enough and can adjust to adapt themselves to different situations.
Absolutely.
VFX Graph is super powerful in that case. But if you don't have the luxury of using VFX Graph, you will have to find systems, for example, in my case now, that I have recently in my mind is I create a lot of flipbooks.
Flipbooks.
And I try to see if they could be applied in a different way.
Okay.
For example, I have a flipbook that I made for a little guy that was rushing, and he had some flames in the front.
Yeah.
The guy, he was rushing. And that same flipbook, I eventually realized that I could also use it as a shield.
With
a twist and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So in my case, that was super useful. But sometimes we develop things that eventually go to the garbage bin. We develop stuff. It's sad to see sometimes effects that we do, and they are eventually not used. But
you have to do it. You have to do it and not look back. Like I've done it a couple of times in the project I'm working with right now, and it's like, it's just not working. Just kill it, you know, and move on. Start from scratch.
It's personally for us as artists, it's a little bit frustrating because we put a lot of time into that.
Yeah,
and it's
of ourselves too. Yeah. Sometimes it's the identity in the work that is the problem.
Exactly. We have to leave our mark in each stuff, and we do. And sometimes that.
Which is hard in a team, you know. If you're working in a team, you're developing a game that is not your game, then it's basically in the name already. You're not doing this for your artistic satisfaction. That's my main issue with how the industry is structured in a bit. Like, your first step is to get good in a skill. Then your next step is to make a portfolio that showcases that skill. Right?
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, in your portfolio, the main thing is to showcase that you can solve problems. That's the most important thing, right?
That's very important, yeah.
But the problem is, let's say it's an environment art. I could have spent on my personal project 6 months on one chair, right? The hiring person is looking at my portfolio, is like, oh my god, amazing work, we need that guy, right? So they hire me, but they have no idea that I spend 7 months on one chair. That's why it looks great. And then they put you in this pipeline, and everything you do, you don't own. Why? Because you have an art director, usually above you, who's telling you, this is the style we want, it's not your style. So you have to work your skills or your skill set to match that style. Then there's the block out of the chair that comes from another person. You know what I mean? Like nothing you own.
That concept, yeah.
And then,
I feel it.
My problem with that is it's expected of you to have a really good portfolio that doesn't matter how much you spend on, how much time you spend on it, but then you're put into this completely different environment. So what are your thoughts on that?
Adapt. We have to adapt a lot, and it's a pain in the ass because we can't do what we really love sometimes in our own style. In a way, it's important to get out of our comfort zone and do it. For example, in case of Rabbit's Tale, I did exactly that. My comfort zone is not doing flipbooks. It's not doing hand by hand. Now, maybe after 6 months, probably it is, but it wasn't.
Mm.
And I got out of my comfort zone, and I did that. And sometimes we have to adapt. Even in my own game, I had to follow an art style that is not my main thing.
Yeah.
But that's life, I guess, because we can't control everything. But one thing that I really like to a lot about visual effects artists is that people don't realize that when they are from other areas, from other sectors of game development, VFX artists have to, besides adapting themselves to different art styles, which is hard, it's extremely hard.
Mm.
Besides that, they have to be comfortable with the tool itself, which sometimes it's not as straightforward as opening Unity. Sometimes there's custom engines And you have to learn that wall thing
Yep.
in days, not in. And the VFX artists have that, have those two things to worry. Knowing all the art styles almost, and adapting to the tools.
Yep, adapting to the tools is a big one. It's also the way you adapt to the tools. Like, for example, right now I'm working with a custom-made implementation system. And it's my
Okay.
second week of trying to understand it. Because I don't
Yeah,
come from
exactly.
a coding background. Like, I really need to understand what it does. What are the possibilities? This stresses me because I need to know, like, what I can do. How can I improve it? How
Yeah.
can I get faster with this? And like you said, you have days to pick it up, and no one is going to help you. I just want
No.
to go back a little bit to the point of the portfolio and the adapt argument that you gave.
Sure.
I agree and I disagree. I think I agree to the current setup that we
Yeah,
have. Like, you have your
I know what
portfolio.
you mean.
Exactly. But I disagree with, like, how you should be prepared to for a job. I like about your videos, like, you have this 10 effects in 10-minute video, right? I feel like we as artists need to practice more this skill because I see it like this. If an athlete, for example, tries to run perfectly, but doesn't have the time constraint in mind, so he or she trains to run, trains their muscles to run without any injury, right? And they can take their time. The race can take an hour. But then the work is that you have a marathon and you need to be number one. That's the work. You need to be the
True.
fastest, the best way you could run. The way we learn is the best way we can run. That's how we learn. We learn what is the best way to make an effect. But with no art direction in mind, with no time constraint in mind, this is never shown in tutorials and in courses. And I feel like we need that one course, that one workshop where it's very clear what is needed from you, right? It's
Yeah.
like team-oriented course and it has to be dynamic. So, for example, if you ever made a course, let's just imagine it's your course, and you say, okay, you have this content to learn from, but you have homework. You have to, and you group people together. You group two people together, three people together, five people together, and you tell them, all right, by the end of the month, we need this list of effects because that's more production. Practicing, right? That's more like we are packing our stuff, going on a boot camp. That's more like a boot camp. And they have to deliver, you know? And even if they don't deliver all of it, they at least delivered some of it. And there's like a criteria of how much they could deliver. And say, for example, by the end of that, they get to sell those assets they created and they get to earn from it. Something like that. Like,
Incentivation,
yeah, I would love a course like that. I would love to attend a course like that. I don't feel like
That's closer.
it's. Yeah.
That's closer to reality than,
Absolutely.
that's much closer to reality, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when we get a job in the industry. That's exactly what happens. You
That's
have to create
exactly what
those
happens.
effects.
Yeah. You have an
It's
art
true. And
direction. Like, so for example, say you organize a boot camp by the end of the year. Every year, let's say you say each one has different art style. The people who join that boot camp already like can have a vision of what is expected from them.
Imagine if the art style is assigned randomly now to each one. It's
Oh
just,
yeah. Exactly. For each team, different art
For
style
each team, exactly.
and different type of effects. So like the five people can do all the trail variants, right? Of the bullets, for example, of the different bullets, and the other team has to make AoEs. The third team has to make all
and
the sparks and the
everything
fire.
together has to look good.
Yes. Man, I would love a course like that. I don't know if you're ever gonna do it, but hey, I could help out.
That's a great idea, but I think that sometimes that's only life that can prepare you to that.
Sometimes, yeah, you're right. But like the art style thing, if you're not an artist and you've experienced with different art styles, if you're only coming from a technical standpoint, it's
Yeah,
hard, man.
that's
Because you learned in one
really
way,
hard.
like let's say you're always trained on like League of Legends type of style. When the art director tells you there should be no gradient, there should be no transparency, then you just literally, you're like,
What am I
what?
supposed to do?
What's alpha clipping? You know what I mean? Or when the art director tells you, can this be more 3D? And you just have to You know, like, you have to be so flexible.
You have to be extremely flexible, and you have to be open-minded about the job you are going to get, because sometimes it's not the art style you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
It's
any advice for newcomers?
My advice is to always experiment. Experiment as much as you can. Don't be afraid to break stuff. Don't be afraid to break. That's what I did to learn on my own. Mm. I broke a lot of stuff and I spent a lot of time, for example, learning shaders, which is something that didn't come easily to me.
Yeah.
So I watched everything about shaders and I found a shader online and I would open it up and I would break it apart just to see how it works. Yeah, that's...
What I found something that I was missing out on when it comes to learning is purchasing Unity asset stores or the engine that I want to play with and just backward engineer the stuff.
The just what? Sorry, I didn't...
Backward engineer? You know what it means?
I think I know.
So,
if you could...
So, like, imagine a person who never understood how a car works, like, or how it works. And they start taking the engine apart and try to understand. Because, they never learned like, the theory behind it. So, backward engineering.
Backward. Oh, backward engineering. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sometimes that's what I did. I had to backwards engineer shaders and stuff like that just to see how they would work. Yes, exactly. Backwards engineered stuff. It's the best way to learn.
All right, yep. Gabriel, thank you so much for your time. Any last thing you want to mention? You want to promote?
I want to say thank you, Jack, for calling me out to this podcast. It was awesome. An hour flew by. I didn't even notice.
Me too.
And I hope that I can keep on helping people.
You are.
Yeah. And I'm glad that I could help you find this area, this small section of game development, and that you are enjoying it. That's the most important part, finding someone that enjoys and something that didn't know exists, that didn't even know that it existed. And I'm not going to promote anything because, you know, it's all right. I can just probably say... Check out Rabbit's Tale. I think it's going to be awesome.
When is it coming out? Tale.
That's a tough question.
Next week?
Next week, yeah, sure. We are aiming by the end of this year, we will see. But we will have a demo probably live this year on Steam, in one of the Steam Next Fests. That's our focus right now, yeah.
That sounds cool, yeah.
I would really like to see what you are doing, yeah.
Yeah. By the way. Oh, I would love to share more information once I can.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'll definitely send you the link for the trailer. I'll also share it with the people I know or with on the server that we have, the generalists.
All right.
Yeah, man. Thank you a lot for your time. I wish time can fly by faster so I could try Rabbit's Tale and see your future videos, but everything has to wait and everything needs to take its
everything
time.
Everything takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right, Gabriel. Have a good one.
Okay. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Bye. See you.